You ready, Freddy? Oh, ready, hey, wait, that's
ready.
A funny phrase.
Ready, Freddy.
It really works out.
I haven't heard that for a while.
I know we've known him for a long time, but let's give the guy some respect. He is our congressman, after all.
I'm okay with that.
U.S. Congressman Freddy Keller.
Frederick. Frederick.
No, Frederick. Actually, I get called Frederick by my wife probably when I don't behave properly.
Yeah, that's when I get Joe. That's when I get Joseph, too.
So I get that, and I used to get it from my mother. Those were the two people that called me Frederick, so...
Well, if you got your prescriptions at CVS and they called to tell you you had one, they would say, "Hello, Frederick, your prescription is ready."
I guess they probably would, wouldn't they?
The computer.
Go to a local pharmacy.
Well, we have one person here who is already taking you on this morning, Fred. He says, "Good morning. I would like to say to Mr. Keller, he will not get my vote in the next election. He voted against the president being required to tell Congress before starting a world war in Iran. Thanks," he says. "I'm not aware of a world war, but you've announced that you're running for re-election, and you've got all this other stuff you've got to deal with now. You were an expert on things in Pennsylvania, and now you're learning all the stuff going on in Washington. And what's your opinion?"
What's my opinion? First off, I want to say thanks for having me on the show today. I want to thank you for that. I want to thank the good listeners and all the great people of PA-12. Just outstanding individuals. And, you know, something comes to mind, and I guess I'll start off this way. The people in PA-12 are very thoughtful, hardworking individuals. We witnessed that today. We were coming up to the radio station to take some trees down over here on County Line Road.
Oh, you had to take a little detour, maybe?
And, well, we came by there, and they were just getting set up and stuff. And the one gentleman, it's Apache Tree Service, the one gentleman's my neighbor, Mr. Long, who is, and this is the people of PA-12, 84 years old or in his early 80s, somewhere 83, 80, somewhere, and running his business out here working today. And that's just, the outstanding people at PA-12 that just get up and work hard every day. And it's really a privilege and an honor. And myself and my team, we work just as hard for them, and they deserve that so very much.
Well, thank you very much for coming in. Now, this is a campaign appearance. In what way does that differ from a congressional appearance? Of course, it was set up by your good campaign leader, so yeah, that's one thing.
Yeah, actually, when you look at what we do, and this is the same as it was at the state level. You know, there are there's the official business that we do every day and work on that, and then there's campaign, and we keep those separate. Campaign activities do not happen using resources that are paid for by the taxpayers, and so all the communication, Mark, as you noted, was through Nick Barley, who's our campaign manager. And not through our office or any of our offices, either in Washington, D.C., Elms Grove, Williamsport, or Tunkhannock. That's for the official side of things. Very bright line that is there. We keep it there, and it should be there. So,
right, so
that
you're running for your first official two-year term, having been elected in a special election last year by a wide margin, 3-1 margin or so. Let's see. Well, what's it like? How about an opening remark, an opening campaign remark as congressman?
Well, I would say this again, just building on how we started here. It's really an honor and privilege to be able to serve the people of PA-12 in Washington, D.C., after having served the people of Union and Snyder counties in Harrisburg for a little over 8 years. Again, people are very thoughtful, diligent, and hardworking, and our way of doing things at the state level, and now as I'm in the federal level, is the same. We are responsive to the needs of the people. We work for the people that live in PA-12. Their interests are everything that we put first. Those are the priorities. We spend a lot of time on the official side, meeting with constituents and getting out to businesses, getting around the district, as I did on the campaign side, too, and will continue to do, because if we're not out among the people listening and understanding everything that's important in PA-12, you need to get to. People deserve things. Number one is that they deserve somebody that's gonna listen to what they have to say.
Well, this election is going to be with the current districts drawn up by the state Supreme Court.
Yes.
But the census is also going to take place in 2020, and PA-12 could change rather dramatically after after that census, wouldn't it? And there's some talk that Pennsylvania will lose a congressman. Do you have any thoughts about that? Are you hearing anything in Harrisburg about what they're saying?
Well, again, as you mentioned, that's going to be up to what happens in Harrisburg. seeing what happened and what happened with that. The potential is if Pennsylvania's population doesn't grow as much as other parts of the country, we could end up losing a congressional seat in Washington. If our district looks different, which it likely will, how different it will look after 2020, in 2022. That's not really a concern. What the concern is, making sure that the people that live in that district were actively engaged. Whether the boundaries are the same or close to the same or different, we'll make sure that we're on the ground, advocating, learning, and then advocating for what's important to the district we represent.
Well,
whether it's the same as it is now or different.
Well, they wouldn't carve you out of Congress, would they?
Well, put him in another district with another congressman, that's happened before.
Well, that's happened before, but I think the one thing you look at, our districts around this part of the state are very, very large, so it's harder to put two of these together than it would be somewhere else.
Right.
Not saying that you couldn't take pieces of it and put it elsewhere, but it is the largest district in the Commonwealth, and there's people from up in Susquehanna County all the way to the lower border of Perry County, and of course in Potter County, and all in between. But we get around and make sure that we're attentive to what's happening in each of the communities and important to the people there. We will approach that the same way, no matter what the lines end up being after any redistricting.
Well, you've had run against the same guy twice Mark Friedenberg, yes, and he's announced that he will not run again. Are you hearing anything about a potential opponent on the Democratic side?
Well, I haven't heard a whole lot, but that hasn't been our focus. And, our focus is the people of PA-12. Regardless of who runs for the office, that doesn't change what's important to people PA-12. So I'm not going to focus on who might be running or who isn't running, because that really, that's not what drives the work I do. What drives the work I do is the people that are in the district that I have the privilege to represent. So our message, what we do, isn't going to change based upon who might be running in an election against us.
What do you think is going to drive this election, Fred? Do you think it's going to be local issues and how well you as a congressman serve your constituency? Or is it going to be concern over President Trump, who has been, to say the least, a rather polarizing president?
I think it's probably going to be a mixture of both. I mean, it's important that you're taking care of the issues, and if somebody has an issue with government, you're taking care of that, which, the team that has been put together on the official side does very well with that. And here's an important thing to note. After getting elected, keeping in mind there was a special election, and I will say, Tom Marino was always responsive whenever I needed anything. It was helpful. But when he resigned and we had a special election, the staff was actually all let go from the federal government because there was a new person, and we had to interview and hire staff. Now, many of the people that worked for Tom, work for us and do a great job. But what happened was, and this is the thing we're proud of when you talk about taking care of the needs of the people of the district, I was sworn in on June 3rd. By June 6th, Ann Kaufman, our district director, had all three offices staffed and up and running to make sure we're taking care of the issues if somebody has a problem with, the federal government or needs help navigating something. And also our chief of staff, day one, swearing in day, I had to be prepared to vote, and there were things coming up. We were already reading legislation.
No orientation, yay or nay.
Yeah. You don't get that orientation period. Now, having understand how the process works in Harrisburg, which it's not the same, but there are things that are similar. Understanding that, we got up to speed and got up and running in Washington D.C. quickly too, but that's just the method to the service the people deserve.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we are talking to U.S. Congressman Fred Keller is here from the 12th District. Of course, you know him as a Snyder County, former 85th District House member, former Conestoga COO?
I would say operations manager.
Operations manager. Okay.
Of the Beavertown factory.
For 2.5 decades there before he ran for public office. So I remember your first debate at the old Lewisburg High School. You were there. I think Trey Kazmir was one of the candidates. And
Eric Viker.
Right. Those folks were running. And, well, maybe if a Democrat runs again this year, you and I will be back on TV, too. We were on the WBIA debate, so.
Yes, we were.
We'll be back on. So, all right. We are talking to Congressman Keller. He's making a campaign appearance, which makes a slight difference. But we'll open up the phone lines. If you have a question for him that you would like him to talk about, what he'll do in the next 2 years in U.S. Congress, or you'd like a clarification or elaboration on something he's already done in Congress, call us 1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Welcome back. WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. Fred Keller's here from Cramer, Pennsylvania, running for U.S. Congress. His district includes Snyder, Mifflin, Perry, Juniata, a bit of Center County, Clinton, Lycoming,
Sullivan.
Snyder.
I did say that's where I started.
No, yeah. Wyoming, Potter, Tioga, Wyoming. Bradford, Susquehanna.
Do you know how many game lands you go through on a daily basis?
Well, I see them on the GPS when I'm traveling.
Okay. All right. So a huge district, but largest district in Pennsylvania. But you were saying off mic, Liz Cheney has the whole state of Wyoming.
And Dusty Johnson has the entire state of South Dakota. And Don Young has the entire state of Alaska.
That's just crazy.
So it's population. That's the way it goes.
And, okay.
As I mentioned, too, I had when I bought lumber for Conestoga, I had, Pennsylvania, part of New York, New England, parts of Canada. So.
Okay. And now you're covering the whole territory, but going down to Washington, do you go to Washington on a daily basis or stay down there? I know you started out staying with friends or family, relations, I think.
Actually, my wife's niece and her husband live in the northwest corner of the district, so they have an efficiency apartment in their home when they remodeled, and I'm staying with them. And
Okay. Are you doing all this tweeting? Do you do that personally, or do you have good people that are...
We have a team.
Okay.
And the tweet team? Well, not a tweet team, but you have a communications, people that work on communications and people that, we all work together, but all the tweeting and things that come out are things that are my position on the issues. And, so the messages that come out are, of course, my messages and so on. So.
Have you ever done an entire tweet all by yourself?
Yes.
Okay. I figured. You didn't drag somebody to, one of these Susquehanna milking contests in Susquehanna County milking contests at 6 a.m. on a Saturday, so you did that one yourself.
But I will say something, when you talk about taking people and different things, the staffs that work in our offices, and, they are accessible many, many hours of the day. And I'll give you an example. I was with a gentleman, texted me one Saturday morning and said, "Hey, you going to be around for a while?" I said, "Well, I'm going to be in Selins Grove." So I met him, and somebody had an issue with a passport. So I texted Ann, our district director, that was probably 8 o'clock on Saturday morning when I met him at the Pepper Tree. And she got right back to me and said, "Have him call the office today. Leave a message for Jackie." And
Pepper Tree. You're a regular there still?
Well, absolutely. We were at Riata's on Saturday, and Pepper Tree, and I've got to become a regular up at Dolly's Diner in Williamsport, and that's probably the best thing for gathering information is when you're out at events. I was at the basketball game at Susquehanna, Selins Grove, and Shikellamy. Saw my former social studies teacher, Mr. Weir, there. But a lot of people, you can gather a lot of information on how people feel, and it's in the environment they're comfortable with. So I think the dialogue is very good, you know, when you're around in the community. And that's why our terms are 2 years. That's why we're supposed to be out in the community listening and talking to people. And I love doing that. I mean,
well, you mentioned your staff. How many people work for Congressman Fred Keller?
There's between D.C. And the district, the people at PA 12 have a staff of about 14 people.
How many work for State Representative Fred Keller?
Again, State Representative Fred Keller, there was three, and then we had a secretary down in Harrisburg that we shared with another person. But we were covering a county, not even two entire counties there. And in all fairness, now we are covering...
Right.
We are covering 15 counties. So we had one district office there. We have three district offices at the federal level. So, you know, there are some things, but, you know, we are very attentive to making sure we're responsible. We realize we're overhead, so we want to be responsible overhead and make sure that we're doing everything as efficiently as we can.
And assuming you're not a committee chairman, I would suspect you'd have a larger staff then, but is that average for congressmen?
Yeah. What it is you as in Congress, it's a little different than the State House, because in the State House, the people work for the caucus. In Congress, you're giving there's an amount of money for the representation allowance, members representation allowance, and you hire people. And if somebody wants to have a large staff, I guess they could have a larger staff, but they got to fill within that. They go outside those boundaries, they got to pay it themselves.
One of our listeners who sent us a text earlier, I guess we got sidetracked, maybe we didn't answer his question satisfactorily, wonders why you voted against the restrictive measure that Congressman Pelosi was advancing.
Are you talking about the thing on the War Powers Act?
Yes.
Yeah, keep in mind that Article 2 of the Constitution gives the president the authority to protect Americans and America's interests. And when you look at what happened with Soleimani and what he did and the terror that he did, and the administration had intelligence noting that, you know, Americans and Americans' interests were at stake, and take a look at what happened leading up to that. Leading up to that, you know, we had a drone of ours downed. We had, you know, there were attacks on oil fields in places. But then there was our embassy, and our embassy was attacked. And the administration...
Iranian-backed protesters is the phrase that media uses. That's accurate?
Well, yeah, the people were coming out of, you know, they were organized by the terrorists. The thing the media isn't covering now is the Iranians that are now demonstrating against their government and applauding the death of Soleimani because of the things he was doing. So the president was well within his rights of the U.S. Constitution to make sure that no more Americans... were harmed by the plans of the attacks he wanted to carry out.
I know our CBS News carried on their app a timeline of what led up to that. It's just to remind people that this wasn't a one-and-done thing.
I mean, the
attacks were just ridiculous over
Iranians
the years.
Iranians have been attacking America since 1979. Let's be clear about that.
Well said.
And when you look at what's happened over history... President Trump said, I'm not going to appease you. They've been shouting death to America for years. I'm not going to appease you, and I'm not going to send you boatloads of cash hoping you don't build a bomb on my watch. I'm looking at a long-term strategy, and after that happened, and the president addressed the nation, he said, Iran can participate in the world community, but we're not going to allow them to do it from a position of terror.
Are you at all concerned, Fred, that the survey released by ABC this morning shows that 56% of Americans say they disapprove of the way President Trump is dealing with escalating tensions with Iran, 43% said they approved, and 52% said they feel it makes the United States less safe?
Well, that was done by ABC.
Yes, that's what I said.
They were the ones that said that he wasn't going to win the election in 2016,
right.
Too, right?
That would be the one.
Okay.
All right.
So
well,
consider the source. Would that be your reply?
Well, my whole thing would be President Trump might handle things a little differently than some other presidents, but President Trump handles it within the scope of the Constitution and the law that he's allowed to do. And again, he's not going to pay people and send them cash hoping they don't do things on his watch. I mean, so when you look at what the president has done, is he's done exactly what he said he was going to do. He's going to put America's interests first and making sure that Americans are protected. And when you look at the information that was that the president used to make the decision, what they did leading up to this, I don't think he acted inappropriately.
That's your phrase. You invented that. I'm going to do, when elected, what I said I was going to
do. I like the other phrase he said, that the president's not afraid to show America's teeth, and I think that's the truth.
Yeah. And when you don't respond to that, he'll show you America's bite.
Mike, thank you so much for waiting. You are on the mark with a campaigning Congressman Keller.
You got a question?
Congressman Keller. Yeah, well, this is Mike from Bloomsburg. In the last 2 weeks, I've had two very uplifting things. One was watching the Pennsylvania High School FFA on PCN Network at the Farm Show. What a wonderful bunch of kids. And I'm sure that you represent many of them in your district. They're just great. And the second thing is being able to talk to you, a congressman, from my house. It's just unbelievable that this can happen. And the question I have for you is I'm reading an editorial by a University of California professor who thinks that we should basically eliminate home ownership and herd people into public housing, and you know that's contrary to the Jeffersonian ideal. And the reason for that is that would increase federal power, and that way it could be used to fight global warming. And I'm just bringing this editorial up that was in The Nation by this UCLA professor to highlight the difference between what I see as the red states and the blue states. And you represent, I guess now we're a blue state, or purple, I'm not sure what they want to call it, but let's face it, the people in your district are a lot different than the elites on the coast. And how do you feel about trying to walk that thin line about representing everyone when you have a job to do at home here? And I'll just let you answer that question.
Okay, Mike, thank you. We heard you. Congressman heard your question.
Thank you, Mike. And I will start out with the first part of the FFA. That is an outstanding program, and a lot of good kids in FFA. In fact, I got the honorary state degree and also from the chapters of Selins Grove and Midwest when I was state rep. So that was really an honor that the kids selected me for that. On how we approach the job to make sure we represent our area accurately, and I know you mentioned, you know, the coasts, and then, of course, you're talking about different affiliation. The one thing I would say in the guiding principles behind how we approach our job should be the Constitution of the United States. And with an editorial saying, and again, I did not read the editorial, so I'll just say that, go on the premise that somebody wants to eliminate home ownership, our Constitution allows us to own property, and that's a fundamental right of people. In fact, there was some debate over the weekend about what the Constitution, but the 14th Amendment says life, liberty, and property are things that...
In pursuit of happiness.
Well, no, it doesn't say... yes, I guess that you would say that, but it actually does say that. It's in the 14th Amendment, clearing some other, of the Constitution. So I guess, the way I approach it is the fact that... You got a constitution, and it matters. And when you look at the rights guaranteed, the rights that we were given by our Creator, that are guaranteed in our constitution and paid for by our veterans, need to be protected.
All right, we're taking questions for Congressman Keller. Good morning, Lance. You're on the mark.
You have a question?
Oh, well, here it is. You have been accused of being a sycophant for Trump. And I believe that to be true, and I'm very proud that it is. And here, that we're always hit with accelerating incomes and inequality. Well, there's a graph in the Weekend Journal that shows the first 11 quarters of the Trump administration and the second Obama term of 16 quarters. And it's really striking. In other words, increase in median weekly earnings on an annual basis.
Okay, what's your question, Lance? We're taking questions.
Well, yeah. Will you continue to back Trump?
Okay. Good question.
That's a good question. We'll get you the answer.
Thank you, Lance.
Okay, as I mentioned before, the president campaigned, and here again, the president campaigned and kept his promises. And when you look at what the president has done and what we're looking at, putting America first, America's economy, when the guy's right, I'm supporting him. And right now what I've seen, he's been keeping his promises. He's been doing what he said he's going to do. He's done what what the people that the electorate
we've got to be able to come up with something better than sycophant.
Well, I was going to say they use the word sycophant, and anybody who knows Fred Keller knows he's not a sycophant.
And you guys know me well enough, and everybody knows me. If somebody were to do something that were inappropriate, I would call them out on it. I did that when I was in Harrisburg, and you know we had the budget one time, and I've done that. But you know, I stand up for what is. You know, look at the Constitution. Look at how I told you I was going to behave, and that's what I do. And if that means the president's right, the president's right. And I am going to stand up for the work he's done to benefit all Americans. And when you look at the accomplishments of this administration, when you have the lowest unemployment rate since I was 4 years old, you've got a booming economy, and wages are rising more for the lower wage earners than they are for the people at the top. I mean, there has been, across all demographics, a huge success, and it's been done by policies, you know, put out by President Trump and the administration. The United States-Mexico-Canada Trade Agreement, USMCA, would not have gotten done if President Trump wouldn't have taken the leadership and negotiated that contract and sent it over to the House. And it only got done because we put enough pressure on the Speaker to say, get it done.
Well, one of our good listeners called Financial Fridays last week and said, if you haven't gotten a raise in the past year, change jobs. So, all right, we're going to have to take a quick one-minute break. We will be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. We got 30 seconds for Dale.
Do you have a question, Dale?
Yes, about free press. You think it's fair where the free press hasn't been able to ask any questions in 380 days, and the White House is controlling the narrative because the free press is trying to help the people understand the narrative when...
Yeah, good question.
Okay, Congressman has heard you, and do you have any comment on that?
Okay, well, again, I know the president oftentimes walks up to the microphones and takes
it.
They
call
an
it
interview.
A spray, a press spray or something?
Yeah, so, I know he's walked up and he's been accessible. I mean, I think some people don't like the fact that... you know, he uses Twitter, but, you know, it's an effective way in getting out the message. I know when my son went to college, they said, you need to learn how to communicate how your child communicates, which meant using some of those Twitter and things that I hadn't done. Well, he went to college in 2009. So I hadn't been as well versed in some of those communication things. So I think the president, in addition to taking those press moments, also uses social media, as everybody does, to communicate and get his message out. And I think there's probably some people that aren't happy with that, or you know, don't like the way he does it. But I think it's I think he uses all methods. He uses them, and he does answer the press's questions. And
but he stopped the daily press briefings that Sarah Huckabee Sanders used to give, and I thought were very informative. Mm-hmm. She handled herself very well. I thought
she did. I thought she got treated very unfairly by some people.
No argument there.
One of our listeners says, please ask the congressman what kind of anti-gun measures the Democrats have in the system for this year?
It all depends on what level of government you're going to be at. But there's some restrictions that people want to put on magazine, the size of a magazine, and you know the kind of guns people would be able to own, whether it's a semi-automatic rifle or what people call military-style weapons. And I guess the first thing I would like to say is our Second Amendment. Should not be diminished. I am a member of the Rifle Association. I love to hunt. I love to go to the range. But, you know, it's the Second Amendment. And, of course, in Pennsylvania, we have, you know, Article 1, Section 21 of the Pennsylvania Constitution, which, you know, is quite clear when it talks about gun ownership and defense of the oneself or the state, that the right to keep and bear arms should not be questioned. You know, a lot of people talk about guns and what happens, but I think it's a matter of how people, respect that right and how people behave.
Nancy Pelosi has said she's going to send the articles of impeachment off to the Senate sometime this week. Do you think that's hurt? What she's done has hurt the Democrats or helped them? And what do you see as the outcome of that trial in the Senate?
Well, what I'll say is that they are supposed to go over, I guess, later this week. The managers are going to be appointed, and we'll vote on that, and then it will be transmitted to the Senate. You know, it's going to go over. The Senate's going to set up the rules and how they're going to handle it. They'll have the trial, but I don't see any evidence that they can. What can they point to that the president? I mean, he released a transcript of the call. And it's an important thing to note that the National Defense Authorization Act, which has been voted on for years by Republicans and Democrats, and you got President Zelensky, who ran on an anti-corruption theme, but the National Defense Authorization Act requires the president, before he transmits Americans' dollars, the taxpayers pay, to a foreign government, he makes sure there's no corruption. And for him to make sure that they're rooting out corruption in Ukraine, and that's what his call was about. You know, he was, so they're going to impeach him for following a law, I guess. I don't know.
30 seconds left for a campaign closing statement.
Okay, what I would like to say is it's really been a privilege and honor to represent the outstanding, hardworking people of PA-12. I would appreciate an opportunity to continue to do that. Fred Keller for Congress is our website. If you would like to find out how to help or get involved in the campaign or have any questions, please, Fred Keller for Congress.
Please come back when it's our turn again.
All right.
We appreciate
we'll do that.
I said off mic, I don't like that he's congressman because we have to wait our turn so much longer now. But please come back. You got an open mic anytime. U.S. Congressman Fred Keller. This is WDKOK Sunbury, 10 o'clock.